Let's talk about the economy as we get towards the end of 2025 with Scott Colbert. He is Commerce Bank's chief economist. And Scott, we keep hearing so much about how resilient the markets have been this year, but Wall Street doesn't always translate onto Main Street, because I think there are a lot of people who hear the markets are great and the economy is being very steady, but they're not feeling it. So what should people take from that?
Well, there's always a disconnect between the stock market and, the real economy. I think most people know there's a great deal of income inequality in the country, and the top 10% of the wealthiest group in the country own about 90% of the stock market. But in general, if businesses aren't doing well and their stock prices aren't rising, the CEOs will look down in their corporation and say, you know, what is my biggest cost? The biggest cost in most businesses in this country is labor. And to the extent that, you know, profitability is growing, chances are then that jobs are growing. And if jobs are growing, the economy continues to make forward progress. So while it's an unequal world, all things being equal, I think you'd rather see the stock market up rather than down.
And how are we looking as far as jobs growing right now? I recently saw a report that small businesses are starting to cut jobs. So where do you see it landing?
Well, while small businesses are the job generators in this country, over the last decade, per the Bureau of Labor Statistics, about 55% of all new jobs come from businesses with less than 250, workers. So if small businesses are slowing their hiring, it's indicative of a huge job growth problem. And the biggest fear that the markets do have, and that the country economically should probably have, is that job growth has materially slowed this year. So much so that the Federal Reserve is likely to be cutting interest rates this week.
The consumer price index was not looking too rosy, the last report that came out. But here we are in the holiday season, where I know a lot of businesses and retailers are really counting on people to do a lot of holiday shopping. So do you have any predictions on how that will go?
Well, the holiday shopping season so far has started out pretty well per the statistics from Visa and, reports from Walmart and places like that. And frankly, the country should root for Walmart. Walmart pretty much sets the minimum wage and is the largest employer in the country. And to the extent that Walmart is doing, better, the country in general should be doing, adequately okay. But from a top line perspective, the CPI is clocking in year over year at 3%. So that means that inflation for the average person is up 3% year over year. Core inflation, when you X out food and energy, is also up 3%. The Fed has a preferred measure called the Personal Consumption Expenditure Index, PCE. It's coming in at 2.8%. So by all measures, inflation's much, much closer to 3% than it is the Fed's 2% target. And I think that when you look at the number one problem that households, talk about in their consumer confidence surveys, it still remains inflation and the cost of goods and services. Inflation since pre-pandemic till today is up about 39% over the 5.5 years, since the pandemic.
What do you see so far as we sit here in December, the impact of tariffs overall? I mean, they've been kind of all over the place, and we hear a new one, then one's taken away. But overall, what do you think has been the impact?
It's very difficult to discern that there was any positive impact at all to the way the tariffs were administrated. If the intent was to wean ourselves from China, that has worked a bit. Imports from China are down 29%. But I think the real focus was for our own economic security. And in that sense, have we added more chip production in the country? Not yet. Have we added more steel and aluminum production? Not quite yet. Pharmaceuticals, 90% of all of our antibiotics still come from China. And I think we just had to renegotiate our trade tariff policy with China because they have us over a barrel when it comes to rare earth minerals. I do think by the end of next year, the tariff policies should be set. And the great thing about American businesses is they just want to know the playing rules. They want to know the rules to the game, and they still don't know really what the tariff rules are. And so that's created some business uncertainty. And of course, with uncertainty came a slowdown in hiring and a slowdown in economic activity. So hopefully we'll work through this. I think the intent was good, but the implementation was awfully scrambled.
What's your assessment of the state of U.S. securities and the way they are performing as far as the rest of the world is concerned.
This is one of the rare times in the last decade where the U.S. stock market is underperforming the global stock market. The S&P 500 is still up a whopping 18% after having, you know, risen 25% 2 years ago and 20% last year, is still up about 18% this year. But the international markets, as measured by the EAFE, the EAFE, those are the larger developed markets in Europe and Australia and the Far East, think Japan, are up almost 30%. And the emerging markets are up almost an identical 30%. The big drag to emerging markets had been China, but Chinese stocks had gotten so ridiculously cheap, and in some cases, people thought the Chinese market was uninvestable, but they've bounced back, you know, significantly this year. When you think emerging markets, you have to think basically China, because China dominates the emerging markets, much like our mega cap 7 dominates the S&P 500. And if Chinese stocks are up, chances are the emerging market stock markets are up too. Will this continue going forward? It's a big debate. The dollar has weakened, which makes foreign investments a little bit better for an American. And those foreign assets, those foreign investments, are from a, you know, a mathematical perspective, cheaper stocks in terms of price to earnings and higher dividend yields. But of course, they don't participate as much in the technology sector that has, you know, so driven the markets forward over the last decade.
What is your assessment of the bond market right now?
Well, we like bonds in general as a diversifier from a very, very expensive U.S. stock market. Let's face it, over the last decade, the U.S. stock market has soared while interest rates have gone up. So a bond investor over the last decade has earned very little, where a stock investor has earned a lot. Today, though, the yields in the bond market are approaching 5%. So you can lock in something like in a typical investment-grade bond fund, more than 4%, but probably a little bit less than 5% yield. Or think of it this way. The 10-year Treasury is 4.17%. You can go buy a 10-year Ameren bond, right, or a Chevron bond or an IBM and earn something close to 5% over the next decade. So you can lock in a 5% return, and we think that's a pretty good diversifier for an expensive stock market.
Talking about the economy with Scott Colbert, Commerce Bank's chief economist. Thanks so much for spending time with us on KMOX.
Happy to do it, Deb.